1395, Adelaide's 5AA.
Local
and interactive.
24/7.
Peter Godfrey.
18 minutes past five. Let's head to New Zealand and take a look at some news from that part of the world. Selwyn Manning from livenews.co.nz. G'day, Selwyn.
Yeah, g'day, Peter.
How's things across the ditch this morning?
It's a very good day. It looks like we're heading for around the mid-20s, like 24, 25 degrees Celsius.
Oh, so very nice.
The cool weather of earlier in the week seems to have passed.
Very nice, very nice. Hey, can we just get you on a different topic to our main one to start with? Just we've had so much discussion since yesterday. General Motors announced they're pulling the pin on car manufacturing in Australia, affecting us here, the plant at Elizabeth. Ted called in earlier just to see if we can put a question to you. Is there any car manufacturing at all happening in New Zealand?
Yeah, not
or car
to speak
or
of,
assembly, rather.
Not to speak of. There used to be a Toyota outfit that was doing it over in Thames, which is about an hour and a half, maybe an hour out of Auckland. But that's pretty much now just, you know, receiving cars and putting them on the lots. Nissan for a short time did the same. That's nothing to speak of. I think that debate that's roaring in Australia at the moment relating to Holden manufacturing and all of that type of thing is one that New Zealanders kind of faced as soon as we went ahead of reducing tariffs, ahead of the partners, the trading partners that we had, and the impact on our industry here was very noticeable very quickly. And, of course, you know, like that debate, I was just listening in when you were speaking to the man just prior to, a lot of those issues that you're discussing there, it was like deja vu to a degree. It's a bit presumptuous, Peter, I suppose, of myself to say, but I think from the way I'm watching the Australian government tracking at the moment, there's going to be more of this. It seems to be the same kind of track that the New Zealand government, in its smaller way, with its reduction of tariffs and moving toward something where it had very little to give away in some ways when it was in trading negotiation and the consequence on the manufacturing industries in New Zealand, not just car plants, but everything.
Yeah, okay. So when was it in regard to vehicle manufacturing? So when was that all happening in New Zealand?
Just remember that vehicle manufacturing was never a huge industry here in New Zealand. It was always on behalf of others. We didn't have, for example, an icon like Holden or Falcon on the two sides of the thing that we had always witnessed and enjoyed from Australia. But what was here, we saw falling away in the early 90s, and that was some years after New Zealand started to really push reduction of tariffs.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, do you see many Commodores, Holden Commodores or Ford Falcons there in New Zealand? Are they popular cars?
They are very popular, always have been, and always, you know, the old Holdens even, you know, they're considered to be just a fantastic thing, you know, very much a vehicle of nostalgia for many, and a lot of restored ones over here. But the new ones, yeah, absolutely. You know, you see a lot of established businesses and corporations using them as their top line corporate cars, and particularly the Statesman type label. So, and for a time, the New Zealand government had them too. They're always considered top notch cars.
Okay, so there's a few hot Taranas and Monaros floating around New Zealand.
Not as many as there used to be, but absolutely, you know, when the Taranas used to be the ones at Bathurst doing the job, and even those, you know, the GTHO Shakers, I think it was around the 1971, I think.
Yeah, the XY, thank you.
They were absolute, you know, someone still has a shaker around there. I think most people will be seen leaning on the fence looking at under the bonnet, you know, with glory times in their eyes.
These days, if you got one of them that's, you know, pristine condition, original condition, you could retire by selling it. And live pretty comfortably. Clearly.
So, yeah, there's a very strong fondness, and certainly there's still a lot of brand new Holdens in particular over here.
Yeah. Let's get on to some other things. John Key, your Prime Minister, he's in some bother. And sadly, this ties in with Nelson Mandela's memorial service this week in South Africa. Tell us why. He's been there, he's attended, but what's the controversy?
You know, it's one of the things in just observing John Key, you know, as a Prime Minister, and he still enjoys the support of many, many people, you know, up around 43% in that band. Everything he used to touch used to turn to gold. It's like that Midas touch that people talk about now politically, and things are just not, it's like he doesn't kind of can't get there, you know, with these types of things. And on Sunday, he obviously saw the purpose and the opportunity to go to Nelson Mandela's memorial service in Pretoria in South Africa. You know, you would think that that would go smoothly for John Key, but he decided to shoulder tap a few of the old boys from the National Party, two in particular, Sir Don McKinnon and Jim Bolger. There are others there too, Peter Sharples, who's an MP in the Māori Party that supports the National Party, and also David Cunliffe, the new leader of the Labour Party, were selected and invited and cemented into this official party. That's the official party to go across from New Zealand to South Africa to represent the country here. Now, remember that New Zealand had a long tradition. Its rugby ties with South Africa are really strong, and when the apartheid regime was in, South Africa was always considered to be the one that the All Blacks would really have a true test against. And there's a huge culture around that. New Zealand and Australia really joined at the hip on those sporting contact areas in that way. Back in 1981, there was a huge issue here. Apartheid was at its zenith, and here in New Zealand, the anti-apartheid movement was huge, and it was challenging the right of governments to allow a Springbok tour to come in when there was a global ban on sporting contacts with South Africa. So that was the backstory. Now, John Key decided to shoulder tap these two former significant politicians from the National Party, Don McKinnon and Jim Bolger. Jim Bolger, he was a former National Party Prime Minister and Cabinet Minister in the Robert Muldoon government. Of course, he was a Prime Minister in the 90s in his own right. Don McKinnon recently made a Sir Peter. He was a former Commonwealth Secretary General, that's most recently, but he was also a former National Party Deputy Prime Minister in the Jim Bolger government and also former senior politician in the Robert Muldoon government. So that's what we're talking about here. Now, what offended New Zealanders by their thousands was that Bolger and McKinnon had both supported the Robert Muldoon government at the time. They were both in it. They were the right-hand men, if you like, of Robert Muldoon. And Muldoon's decision was to allow the Springbok tour to take place in New Zealand. And then he led up to it, knowing there was going to be huge resistance and protest against this thing, that he equipped the New Zealand police force with these long-handed attack batons, and then basically allowed the culture to build where the police were absolutely able to deal to the protesters in a very, very vicious and brutal way. And this is the closest, really, Peter, that New Zealand ever came in the 20th century to a civil war. It was that serious here. And those who are listening that may have been here or remember the time will know our towns and cities in New Zealand, they were demarcated by batons and barbed wire. Men, children, even the elderly, you know, they were just beaten down in their protest efforts. Mm. And of course, there was, you know, the protesters retaliated too in some degrees. Cars overturned, police pursued. There was just, the streets were just torn apart. You know, New Zealanders were absolutely gobsmacked with what was happening in their name at that time. And the tactics used by the police just were things that you didn't think would ever happen here in New Zealand. Mm. Now, at the time, so you can see I get weighted down by that a bit. But at the time, Nelson Mandela, remember, was still in prison at Robben Island. His political prisoners and himself, apparently, they heard that the first game of the Springboks at Rugby Park in Hamilton was called off after protesters stormed onto the field, and the police themselves received radio calls from a pilot in an aircraft threatening to crash his aircraft into the grandstands if the game commenced. So the game was called off. The prisoners in Robben Island, Nelson Mandela among them, heard about this, and they just said, Nelson Mandela said it was like the sun began to shine because they knew the significance between New Zealand rugby and the Afrikaans and the Bok rugby cultures in South Africa. And they started to rattle their cages. Now, the offences occurred here in New Zealand because John Key, he decided to take with him to Nelson Mandela's funeral two of those MPs from the past that totally supported the tour here in New Zealand and actually had referred to, in Jim Bolger's case, as Nelson Mandela as a terrorist. And no anti-apartheid leaders, of which there are a number of very significant people politically even now, were even asked if they would want to go with the official party. And so it's just been raging ever since, Peter. Sorry about the long monologue, but
So with that kind of a history, no doubt, you know, no wonder that you know, those memories have come back fairly strongly with the inclusion of these two men on the John Key's list. So how much backlash, you know, how much damage could this do to John Key? You know, is his Midas touch completely gone?
It seems that he's pretty much lost that in recent times. But what's really showed is that even the conservative press, like the New Zealand Herald, John Armstrong, one of its best, well, certainly its best analyst, columnist, writer, former chief political writer for the Herald, and he wrote a blinding piece yesterday which he explained basically to John Key why there was gross offence made by the decisions he made over the selections here, and continued to justify himself. John Key himself states that he can't remember what side of the fence he was on back then. New Zealand society was totally polarised on this issue. No one can kind of play to be on both sides of the fence on this, and he attempted to do so. The news went right across to the Huffington Post, right on this issue, and the Washington Post published articles exactly on this issue, at AP, the Associated Press, all over the United States. John Key, you know, New Zealanders just sitting there thinking, we didn't realise how those injuries and the consequence of that brutality that happened all of those years ago, how it was so close to the surface and still remains. John Key's actions is, perhaps there's a positive in there somewhere that he's drawn them all to the fore.
We can only look at that way. So, and thanks for that report. We will talk to you again next week.
Take care, Peter.
Thanks, Owen. So we're Manning in New Zealand, livenews.co.nz.